We're going to start with Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, number 84. Let's stand as we sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can gather here today. We thank you for the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can sing of him and his coming and of what he did as he came. We thank you for this time of worship. We commit it to you. We ask that you would be honored and glorified as we sing praise to you, as we pray, and as we study your word together. We commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I do want to welcome each one of you here today. It's so good to see you here inside in the building today. Thank you for coming out. Appreciate that. And this is first Sunday of December here. And so we're thinking about Christmas now, and we have a chance to sing those Christmas songs. So glad to see you here. Also want to say hello to those that are listening here, perhaps on the recording. And thank you for listening as we are recording these services. And some are listening. We appreciate that. I want to encourage you to come out tonight for our evening service. We're having our evening service again. And so I just encourage you to be here for that time we have to gather together as a church family and to share testimony, to sing, to study God's Word. Just encourage you to be here. Wednesday, we plan to be out visiting in our community again at 4:30 here at the church. An elders meeting is planned this week for Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. And then on December the 18th, we're going to do Christmas caroling. Again, it'll not be going out, but it'll be coronavirus-style Christmas caroling. So we're going to be just here at the church. That'll be December the 18th, and we're not going to be going out again, but we will try to do that by calling people, or perhaps we can do video calling. I'm not sure, though, if we'll be able to or not, but I hope we can. But at least we'll do it by phone. And then we'll have a fellowship here. We'll plan to have dinner here. That's Friday night, December 18th. We'll have the pizza, chips, and veggies provided for the dinner. And then if you would like to bring some cookies to share for that caroling night, that would be fine. And again, this sort of thing is, we have some folks that are not in that at-risk category. Or we have some others that, they are doing things at their own risk as well. And so that's kind of how we're doing that. And then on December the 20th, Christmas services are planned. We're planning on having a morning Christmas service with our children, doing a little program. And so they're also going to be practicing actually today, right after the service. And so planning on that. Then in the evening, planning on a candlelight service for our evening service on December the 20th. And then as New Year's is right around the corner, December the 31st, we are going to plan a New Year's Eve fellowship. And so we'll plan to have a soup and sandwich potluck, some games, a Christian film, and plan to have that New Year's Eve fellowship. And again, this we're kind of doing this with the understanding that, you know, we have some folks that aren't at risk, and so we're kind of doing that. You know, we do have some that are in that category, and then we have others that are doing things at their own risk. And so if they want to come, that's, you know, it's at their own risk. So that's kind of how we're doing that as well. Just want to praise the Lord for the thank offering this year. There's over $2,500 that came in for that. And so that is going to cover the cost of equipment to begin live streaming. And that equipment has been ordered. Some of it's come in already. And in addition to a mobile camcorder, we were able to upgrade to a permanent, what's called a pan tilt zoom camera that'll be mounted in the back of the sanctuary here. And so we're thankful for that. And then also there's an upgraded computer that was ordered, a video switcher as well. And the internet is supposed to be installed from CenturyLink soon. They gave me the date of tomorrow. And so just pray that they would follow through on that, as sometimes they don't always follow through on what they say they'll do. But CenturyLink is pretty much our only option here. There is, or will be anyway, a basket in the foyer for collecting non-perishable food items for a family this Christmas. And that's a gift that's usually given to a family that somebody in our church knows might need it or knows might appreciate it. And so if you have a suggestion about a family or an individual to give that gift to, if you want to let me know, we can try to do that. But please bring in those items. We'll be collecting that over the next few weeks. Just want to say thanks to the ladies who were here yesterday decorating the church for Christmas. Appreciate them. We had 9 different ladies that were here and girls. So we're thankful for that. And so that's, if you notice the church looking a little more Christmassy, that's why they were there. So we appreciate what they did. All right, our birthdays, we have, I know of one coming up. Mr. Renard's birthday is coming up this week, and so we will wish him happy birthday, and several more in December there, December birthdays. All right, no, I forgot to get that card that was from Mr. Ray, but there is a thank you note on the bulletin board from the Ray family, as Al Ray's mother passed away recently. And they had the funeral there last week. And so there's just a thank you note for the cards and flowers from the church. So I'll read that maybe tonight if I can remember to get that off the board. But it's there on the bulletin board. And so just want to take a look at that. All right. Would there be any prayer requests you'd like to share this morning? Anything you'd want to share just as we're here together? Any prayer requests? All right. Yes, Mrs. Ray. All right. Pray for Al Ray. He's not here this morning. He's not feeling good today. Pray for Al. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, let's take our song sheet again. Go to our next song. My Faith Looks Up to Thee, 359. And we'll sing this together. My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Let's turn in our Bibles for our scripture reading now to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And the text is on the back of the bulletin as well, if you'd like to read it there. We'll be reading verses 17 through 27. Reading responsively, John chapter 11. Let's stand in honor to God's word as we read. John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother.
And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house.
Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again.
Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again for the resurrection
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Read verse 27 together. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. You may be seated. Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you giving thanks for who you are today. We thank you for the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, in your word. We thank you that we read here of his being the resurrection and the life. We praise you for that. Thank you for these promises that you give to those who believe and the victory over death. How thankful we are for that. Pray that you would encourage us with these truths this morning. Pray that you would give us the faith to accept these things and believe them. Our Father, we pray for our congregation today. We come before you today with many different needs and issues. You know each one. We thank you that you know us and you care about us. And Lord, we pray for the physical issues that there are here in this congregation. Some not able to come out today because of those issues, sicknesses, and diseases. We pray for your healing hand to be upon us. We pray, Lord, that you would meet the needs of our hearts today. We know that there are various issues we face. We pray that you would encourage us, help us to believe your word, to accept it, and to follow in your way. We pray, we know we need your Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us, each one of us. And we ask for that this morning. Our Father, we thank you for this assembly of believers, and we pray that you would strengthen us as a church. We pray, Lord, that you help us each to see the part that we have in the assembly. As believers, individually, you've given us gifts by your Holy Spirit that are to be used in serving in various ways, different ways, and so help us to do that. And Father, we thank you for the elders that you've given here. We pray for special wisdom for them, and help us to have your mind and to know your will as we lead this church. And we thank you, Father, for your care for the assembly. Thank you that you love the church, you care for it, and we pray for your will to be done here. Our Father, we come to worship you today. We come before you with our tithes and offerings to give our gifts before you. And we pray that these gifts would honor you. Pray that our hearts would be right, that we would have thanksgiving towards you, and that we would recognize the great ways in which you have blessed us, both physically and spiritually. Our Father, we remember our missionaries today. We thank you for the part that we have in the support of them. And we just pray that you would open doors of witness for them. We pray that you give them wisdom to minister in these days of the coronavirus all around the world. And we pray that you would just sustain them and encourage them. And Lord, we recognize that you've placed us here in this local area, this community, to reach out and to minister both as individuals and as a church here. We ask that you would enable us to be your servants with the gospel. We pray for opportunities and open doors, and pray for the ones that have been reached here in recent days with the gospel tracts and the Gospels of John. We pray that your word would reach them, reach hearts here around this community, and that you would save souls most of all. And we pray for our community here. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for the president, President Trump, as he continues to lead this country. Give him your special grace and wisdom. And we pray for the final election results. We pray for any fraud to be exposed. And we just ask for peace here in this country. We pray for the salvation of our leaders, both our president, our vice president, and all those all the way down here to the local level. Lord, we know that the greatest need is for our country to turn to you, and we pray that our leaders would do that sincerely, and for the people of this land to humble themselves and to turn and seek your face. And we pray for a revival here in this country. We pray that your Holy Spirit would do that, bring that about. And so we pray for our country. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy here. Thank you, Lord, we're able to meet here and to worship you. Pray that you would bless our time. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our song sheet now, and we'll go to our next song, which is Lead On, O King Eternal, The Day of March Has Come. Number 407, let's all stand as we sing. Lead On, O King Eternal.
Thank you.
ask you to take your Bible again and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, as we continue on here in this series in the Gospel of John, we've come to the 11th chapter, which is the account of the raising of Lazarus, which is one of the greatest signs that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. John records several of those signs. He doesn't record all of them, he tells us, but he's selected a few under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to show us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to encourage us to believe on him. As we started this chapter last Sunday, we saw how that Mary and Martha, two sisters, had sent a report to Jesus that their brother was sick. And surprisingly, we saw that Jesus did not leave everything and go and heal Lazarus right away. Instead, the text tells us that he waited 2 days. And then he decided to go with his disciples to Judea, which the disciples objected to because of the danger last time that Jesus had been in that region. The Pharisees were ready to stone Jesus. They're ready to kill him. And yet Jesus says they're going back there now. And we see that Jesus made it clear he was doing this because of the opportunity he still had for ministry. He knew that. It was still day. It wasn't night for his ministry. And because he knew he would be raising Lazarus from the dead. And so as we looked at those first 16 verses, we got a perspective on suffering. Three forms of suffering. We looked at, first of all, sickness and how God sometimes allows sickness. Does not mean that he does not love us. Jesus made it very clear that he loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. We looked at danger. Jesus chooses to go in the path of danger. It may be chosen for us sometimes, just as he chose it for the disciples. He says, let us go to Judea. And he shows us it can be endured for good reason. And then we saw death, right view of death. He describes death like sleep in that it is not permanent. And we saw that death can also grow the faith of others, as Jesus knew it would. He says, I am glad for your sakes, verse 15, that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. He was doing something in the hearts of his disciples and in others around that would see this sign, this miracle. He was trying to strengthen their faith, and he knew that this experience would do that. And then we saw that death can be faced with courage, as one of the disciples, Thomas, showed a display of courage, as he says in verse 16, let us also go that we may die with him. He saw that death was a real possibility, but he knew that Christ would be there. And because of that, he was willing to face that experience. And then as we continue on here, we see Jesus coming to the place where Mary and Martha lived. And we find that the main character here is Martha in these next few verses. Jesus interacts with Martha, helps her in her grief. And he shows how anybody can find comfort in grief, as Jesus deals with Martha. Notice here how Jesus helps in grief. Notice verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Somehow, Martha gets word that Jesus is coming to Bethany. Maybe a messenger somehow comes and gives word. And we're told that Martha is the one who goes out and meets Jesus on the way, just as he is coming to Bethany. You know, we have to realize when we see meetings like this that these are not at all surprises. It wasn't by chance that Martha somehow ended up outside the city meeting Jesus there and talking to him. That's what it may look like on the human level. But I think that this meeting happened because Jesus wanted to talk to Martha. And so this meeting was arranged here with Martha. Jesus meets people in grief. Notice how he does that. He comes at a time of comfort. We're told that it was a time of death and burial. Lazarus had been dead in the grave 4 days already. He was not just sleeping in the tomb. He had already been buried. He had been buried already in that tomb 4 days already. It was also a time of sympathy. We're told about the distance of Bethany from Jerusalem, 15 furlongs. Find out that that's a distance of about 2 miles from Bethany to Jerusalem. So I think if you think about the great metropolis of Sparta, Ohio, that's about 2 miles away from here. And so that's about the distance it would have been from Bethany to Jerusalem. And the point is, it's not that far. And people were able to go very easily out to Bethany to come and to comfort Mary and Martha in their time of loss. We're told that many of the Jews did that. Which, remember, in the Gospel of John, that expression usually refers to the religious leaders. And it seems that perhaps some of those people were involved in going out and trying to comfort Mary and Martha over the loss of Lazarus. It was a time of sympathy. That was the time that Jesus chose to go and meet this family in their grief. I think it's significant that Jesus also made use of that time. You know, he chose the time when people were coming to comfort the family. You know, if people hadn't come to comfort this family, they would have missed out on one of the greatest signs that Jesus ever performed during his earthly ministry, the raising of Lazarus. But he chose that time when people were coming and trying to give comfort. That was the time he chose to sympathize with this family. You know, we're going through another time right now where that's difficult for people to do. You've noticed when people have funerals, you know, so many people aren't having funerals, actually. I was reading the obituary section there last week, and several obituaries, no services will be held due to COVID. And, you know, that's sad to see that. You know, Jesus chose a time like that. Of course, there would have been cultural differences on how they did that, but there was this time when people came together to minister comfort, to sympathize. And Jesus also did that. He met with those people. And notice he meets people with different personalities. Whenever we see Mary and Martha, the thing that stands out to us is the fact that they were different. If you remember the other account of Mary and Martha, where Jesus visited their house, we see a great personality difference there between Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And there in that account, you see Martha seems to be the busier one, the more active one, the one who's out doing something. And perhaps you see the same thing here. See that Martha is the one who hears Jesus is coming. She doesn't wait. She goes out to meet him and to talk to him there. Mary is the one who stays, and Jesus will talk to Mary later. What are we to make of that? Well, people are different. People are different from one another. And this is a family that reminds us, even in a family, sisters are different. Believers are different from one another. And, you know, there's not just one mold to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There are different personalities. And Jesus deals with those different personalities. And we see he meets people and he faces the struggle that they experience. Notice what Martha says, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, that's probably something that she was saying or thinking at least a lot during this whole experience. Lazarus had gotten sick. Don't know how long he was sick. But she knew and she felt that if Jesus was there, that he could do something about it. And she was right. He could have. Perhaps Mary would have said the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here. I don't think that she was rebuking Jesus. She was a woman that was facing something that everybody faces in this situation, a time of loss, and that is, she was facing grief. She was facing grief. And as she thought about her brother and the fact that he was dead and the fact that his body was in that tomb, all she could think about was, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. That's grief. That's grief taking over her mind. But there's something else that she experiences here. Notice what she says in verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Where is Martha in her attitude towards Jesus? If you jump ahead in this passage, verse 39, notice what Martha says when Jesus says, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And yet here in verse 22, she seems to think that that Jesus' ability is unlimited because of his unique relationship with God. She says, I know even now that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You know, as you look at verse 22, do you think Martha is thinking that it's possible that Jesus could raise Lazarus? She says, even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Do you think she's thinking that? I would say it's hard to think that she's not thinking about that. She says, Lord, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And yet there when Jesus says, take away the stone, she says, Lord, he stinketh. What's going on with Martha? I think what's going on with Martha is she is facing grief. And what happens in a person's heart when they're facing grief? Well, there's a struggle that goes on. And it's a struggle between hope on the one hand and a very great despair on the other hand. And both of these are mixed together in Martha, and that's what everybody, I think, faces when they're facing grief as a believer. There's a mixture of hope and despair. She's grieving. When she focuses on death and the body, she's in despair. And when she thinks of Christ, she has hope. She's speaking to Christ, and she says, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And so Jesus meets people in grief. That meeting was on purpose. This meeting is designed to help Martha. And then Jesus takes a step further here as he helps her. And what we find that he does in verses 23 to 26 is something that every person that's dealing with grief needs. And that is, we find Jesus reveals himself in grief. Jesus meets people, and then Jesus reveals himself in grief. And he does that gradually here. Notice what he says in verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Thy brother shall rise again. He starts with a general promise here. And really, there's two levels to this. On the one hand, there is a comfort looking ahead to the resurrection that's coming in the future, that the Bible foretells that Martha even knows about. She says in verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And that was true. You know, that's something that we need even today. No matter who you are, we need to be reminded about that resurrection at the last day. And that's a certainty. Now, Jesus did not say to her that, you know, I think that Lazarus is going to rise again someday, or maybe Lazarus will rise again someday. Didn't say that, or maybe that he hoped he would rise again someday. He said it with certainty. He said, thy brother shall rise again. And that's something we need to remind ourselves of. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 tells that to us very clearly about true believers in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. You understand something here? That the resurrection is a certainty for believers. And Jesus reminds Martha about this. On one level, we could even say to be true, even today, coming in the future at the end, believers will rise again. But there's a second level here that Jesus is speaking about as we look at this account. He's promising not only the resurrection at the end, but of course he's promising something specific about Lazarus. He's telling her that he's actually going to raise Lazarus from the dead. We know that's what he intended to do. But Jesus doesn't want us to stop here. Jesus here wants Martha to go beyond this certainty about the resurrection coming in the end. He wants her to take a step beyond that, directing her away from just a general belief in the fact of resurrection, but to a personal belief in Jesus who can provide resurrection at any time. Notice what verse 25 says. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We have here another one of the I am sayings of Jesus Christ. Find these all throughout the book of John. There's at least seven. You could even argue for maybe even more of those here. And we have this. Jesus reveals himself. I am the resurrection. He reveals the basis of the resurrection and the life. You know, what does he mean by that? Is he saying that he's the teacher of resurrection? Is he saying merely that he's the giver of resurrection? Well, that's true. Those things are true. But he says more than that here. He's saying that he is the resurrection and the life. It's centered in Jesus. He is the one who is the cause. He's the author of resurrection and life. That's what he wants Martha to understand here. You know, Martha's problem, and our problem today, oftentimes, is that our knowledge and our understanding is much too general. You know, we may have this general understanding like Martha had, yes, okay, I know that my loved one is going to rise again in the resurrection. And that's true, but it's not enough. What Jesus wants us, what he wanted Martha to know here, is that he is the resurrection and the life. He wanted Martha to see something about Jesus in her grief. Martha was focused on an event of resurrection, which she believed. But Jesus wants her to think about a person, Jesus Christ. One preacher put it this way, when you are sick, you want a doctor, and not a medical book or a formula. When you're being sued, you want a lawyer and not a law book. Likewise, when you faced your last enemy, death, you want the Savior and not a doctrine written in a book. The person of Jesus Christ, that is what Jesus reveals to Martha, the source of all resurrection and life. And we see he reveals the promises of resurrection and life. He says, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He describes here the believer in Jesus facing death. Yes, the believer may face death, but physical death does not prevent real life. Death for the Christian, for the true believer, is not the end. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Death is no longer the same way that the world views it. It's no longer the final event. It is a doorway that we pass through, a gateway to life and eternity. Jesus promises that for the believer. We see he gives eternal life. Verse 26, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Doesn't mean that they will never die physically, but eternally they will never face a second death. And the life that Jesus gives is not something that we just get as believers someday in the future. It's something that God can bestow upon us, give to us even right now. It's something that we can have now. And I trust that you have that. It's all centered in Jesus. Martha was grieving. What did she need? She needed a clear view of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ gives to her. He reveals himself to her. "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus meets people in grief. Jesus reveals himself to people in grief. And then Jesus does something else here. We find that he calls for faith. He calls for faith from people in grief. Notice verse 26 at the end. He says, "Believest thou this?" Believest thou this? He calls Martha to believe in what he has just said. And as simple as that call is, it's important for us to understand what it is not. It wasn't a call for Martha just to stop and admire Jesus. It was a call rather to believe in Jesus. It was a response. It is a response. It is to accept as true what Jesus has just said, that he is the resurrection and the life, that these promises are true, to accept that and also to trust and to embrace personally what Jesus has said. It is not a call to works of any kind. Jesus does not call her to offer some prayers for the dead, or to give any money in Lazarus' honor, or to go out on some kind of mission. It was a call for her to believe. "Believest thou this?" A response of her heart. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's not a call to works of any kind. It's not a call to gain a lot of knowledge and to do great things for God. You know, Jesus gave a warning in Matthew chapter 7 about people in this life who do a lot of great things, and yet they stand before God, and God says that he never knew them. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It's not a call to do great things in God's name. It's a call to believe. To believe from your heart. You know, it's not a call to reform your life on your own. Many people have a lot of problems. They realize that their life needs some kind of change, some kind of reformation about it. That may be true. The call here is not to reform yourself. It's to believe and let God by the Holy Spirit do the work in changing. Yes, there needs to be repentance. But it's not a call to reform your life. It's a call to believe. It's not a call to join others and get on the bandwagon. Just kind of go along with the crowd, what other people are doing. It's a personal call. A personal call to believe. Something that can only be done personally. Something that your parents can never do for you. Something you have to respond to yourself. Jesus wants you personally, just as he wanted Martha to believe. And then notice the response to this call. How does Martha respond? Verse 27. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She responds with personal faith. She says, I, and that I is emphatic here. She's speaking about herself. There may be others who heard this about Jesus, and certainly there were, and there still are today. They hear these things about Jesus, what Jesus says here, and yet they reject it. But Martha says, that's not me. She says, yea, Lord, I believe. There may be others who reject, but I believe. She responds personally, and she responds with a specific, concrete faith. She believes that. It's not just a general belief, but it's a belief that accepts certain things to be true, certain facts. What are those here? I believe that thou art the Christ. That's the word that refers to the Messiah, the nation of Israel, of course. They were very eager for the Messiah, but sadly, they were more eager for the political Messiah. They wanted the deliverance politically from Rome. And so many of them missed that Jesus didn't come for that in his first advent. He came to be the spiritual Messiah, to come and to die. But Martha was different. Martha saw Jesus as he wanted her to see. Not just as a political Messiah, but as the spiritual Messiah. She believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Expression that describes one who has a very close relationship with God, even sharing in that divine nature. She recognized who Jesus is, not just a man, but the Son of God. And then she believed that Jesus is the one that should come into the world. The Old Testament prophesied that this Messiah would come. And he did come. He was born in the manger at Bethlehem, which we are remembering this month as we come to the Christmas season. But his purpose was beyond that manger. And he didn't come merely to be born there at Bethlehem. His mission was to get to the cross. And on the cross, he would die for our sins. He would be taking the punishment that we deserve as he died on that cross. And Martha saw that Jesus was one who had a mission from God, and she accepted that, and she believed that. She says, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Jesus calls for that faith, even today. He calls for faith from people in grief. It may be that you face the death of a loved one in recent days or even years. You're still struggling with that. What can God do for you? He can do for you what he did for Martha. He reveals Jesus Christ for you. And he calls you to believe what he has revealed. Perhaps you're not facing grief today, but Jesus still calls for you to believe. Do you see who Jesus is? Do you want what he can give to you? Do you understand that Jesus is calling for you to believe on him as the resurrection and the life? What do you need to do? Heed that call. Open your heart to him and believe. Accept what he has said and put your trust and your faith in him. Doesn't matter how old you are. You may be 5 years old. You may be 55 years old. You may be 95 years old. Doesn't matter how old you are. All that matters is that you understand that Christ is revealing himself to you. God is revealing Jesus Christ through his word, and he calls for you to believe. Jesus helps in grief. How does he do that? He meets people in grief, like he did Martha, and the struggle that they face. He reveals himself to people in grief, and he calls for faith from people in grief. Would you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you help us. Thank you that you are a Savior that's acquainted with grief and you care about your people as they face it. And Father, we pray that you would draw near to us, draw near to anybody listening to this message here this morning. We pray that you would comfort them. We pray, Father, that all of us would see Christ. We see him revealed in your word, and we thank you for the way that you have done that. And Father, we pray that you would allow us to believe, to accept, to trust, to embrace what you have revealed for us. Pray that for each one here today, each one listening. Pray that you give us that faith to see Jesus Christ and to believe on him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our song sheet now and we'll go to our next song as we prepare for the Lord's table. We think of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We'll sing Blessed Redeemer, number 112. And let's stand as we sing number 112, Blessed Redeemer. Up.
Thank you.
our custom to